Lean Leadership Podcast, episode 67.
This is the Lean Leadership Podcast. Equip yourself with the tools for success in your team's lean journey by learning from the world's top lean professionals. Listen at the risk of improving with your host, Chris Burnham.
Today's guest is Skip Stewart. Skip has earned an MBA and is experienced in diverse industries, including automotive, machining, food, process, service, and healthcare. Skip has a variety of certifications. He's a Shingo examiner, a certified quality engineer, a quality management system auditor, a Six Sigma black belt, and a certified lean champion. Skip is also a certified trainer in TWI, or training within industry, and he's certified in job instructions, job relations, and job methods, and he has spoken both nationally and internationally. Skip currently serves as the Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer at Baptist Memorial Healthcare, headquartered in my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee, where he develops, directs, and implements performance improvement activities, identifying inefficiencies, implementing strategies to improve quality, service, and finances, and fostering a culture of continuous improvement and excellence. Skip is also the co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, Connecting the Dots. Here's our guest, Skip Stewart. I am really excited about this conversation today. Skip, we briefly touched on who you were in the intro, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how lean or continuous improvement is a part of your life?
Sure. So my name is Skip Stewart. I'm the Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer with Baptist Memorial Healthcare, headquartered in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's a non-for-profit healthcare system in Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas, about 22 hospitals, 190 clinics, a university, some other parts. I'm responsible for what's known as the Baptist Management System. Some people in their organizations might call that Lean, or they might call it Operational Excellence or Lean Six Sigma. We just simply call it the Baptist Management System. So that's my responsibility. It's our improvement system within our overall company.
Okay. Well, great. I know we're going to dive into that a little bit here later in the podcast. But before we get started, we always like our guests to share with us a quote or a mantra from one of their favorite leaders. So can you share with us what your quote is and why you chose it?
You know, the quote was given to me by a coach of mine, Dr. Edgar Schein, and it's not a quote from him, but it's a quote that was given to him many years ago when he was a professor at MIT for 51 years. And it goes a little like this, that life is a series of conversations and everything happens through a conversation and relationships.
Oh, deep thinking. Great quote. Dr. Schein is a gem. So I'm glad that you shared some of the conversations that you had with him in relation to a quote here. And I know that you're going to talk about him later on in the podcast. So I'm excited about that. Skip, one of the goals for me with this podcast is to help other lean leaders resonate with your experiences. So can you kind of lead our listeners through how you chose the profession you're in right now when it comes to lean and continuous improvement?
You know, in some respects, it found me. I started my career off about 29 years ago in manufacturing. I spent most of my career in manufacturing, most of it with a wonderful Fortune 100 company known as Emerson Electric. And I started in the area of quality. I was heavily ingrained with Dr. W. Edwards Deming's work. I was mentored by a friend of mine named Dr. Don Wheeler out of Knoxville. And he was a mentor of mine, still is to this day. And I was kind of on that path of quality engineering, industrial engineering, doing some great work, learning a lot. But I had this interest always in operations. And so I eventually had the opportunity within Emerson to move over into operations and running very high-tech manufacturing facilities. And someone handed me a book called Lean Thinking. And I remember thinking, what's this about? And I started listening to it and started making a lot of sense and was very interested in it. And then I went through an Emerson 5-week or 6-week, something like that, lean certification out of St. Louis with their group. And that kind of led my interest in it, but I was still in operations. I looked at it as a management system within how I was going to manage operations. So I didn't necessarily have an interest or know that I was going to be someday in a world of just driving improvement. Really enjoyed that for a long time. And then at some point in my career, I went into the private equity world. Those are kind of the Shark Tank people for those that watch that show. And you know, that was an interesting world. But what I got introduced to was healthcare. I got introduced to healthcare through that world. It interested me because my mother was a nurse for 40 years. I was really interested in how healthcare seemed to be behind other industries when it came to the thinking, when it came to driving improvement. So that interest still kind of just fostered out there and was introduced to healthcare. We had some great work that we did in that world. And then back in the summer of, I guess it would have been really December of 2012, I got to meet my boss, Dr. Paul DePriest, at Baptist Memorial Healthcare, by far the greatest leader I have ever read about or ever had. We spent 6 months getting to know each other. It was the longest interview I'd ever had in my life. And then I joined Baptist in June of 2013 with the mission of developing our improvement system. And he's the one that had the vision to call it the Baptist Management System. He was heavily influenced by the Toyota Production System because he was both a professor as well as a physician at the University of Kentucky's healthcare system. And so he had this little company in his backyard called Georgetown Toyota. And so he got to know Mr. Cho. He got to know a lot of the leaders, and that really influenced his thinking. And when I remember the days interviewing with him, he had a lot of the books that I had up on his bookshelf. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, many times you'll see high-level executives have what I call lofty, not real in-depth books, but he had some really heavy-hitting books. And so I remember thinking, wow, this guy's for real. So that's a little bit very quickly about my journey.
That's great. And what I appreciate about just my knowledge of the work that you've done and what you've put out into LinkedIn and on YouTube is that you focus on the system first. Like system problems require system solutions. I think I heard on your podcast. Yeah. And you apply the tools like the improvement kata and TWI in a way that meshes with the system and I guess enhances the system rather than saying, hey, here's our toolbox. Today I'm going to teach you how to use TWI. Like you teach the why and the how behind how it operates within your system.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's very important that we think systemically. So, you know, for those watching on a video, you can see behind me our 11 guiding principles. And those are really important. It's more than just a poster on the wall. And I can talk about that later. We have what's known as a Baptist Management System review process. But one of those principles is systemic thinking. And my thinking continues to grow on that subject. It's not one of those things where, okay, I learn it and I'm done. Even this year has been a growth in me learning. Dr. Schein has really influenced that. Healthcare is probably the most complex, open, socio-technical system that exists. And it's only going to get more difficulty as the technology gets more difficulty. So that the socio side is what's creating the interdependence. And anyone that's ever walked in a hospital, even if you're not in healthcare, can relate to that. When you come into a hospital, you might come in through the ED and then you might end up in a floor. You might have to go have some surgery done. Well, you have many different technical departments that are really good in their technical field. They're interacting or at some level. And so the patient's traveling horizontally through that system. And many times they're feeling the strengths or the weaknesses of how well those dots are connected in that system.
Thus connecting the dots for the title of the podcast. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Well, you know, Skip, you've had a lot of success with continuous improvement, both in the manufacturing sector and also private equity and healthcare. But there had to be some moments where things just didn't quite work out the way that you wanted them to. Can you share with us maybe what you consider your biggest career setback with lean or continuous improvement, any pitfalls or mistakes that you made, and what you learned through that journey?
Yeah, I think in addition to events of where I didn't have success or learning, I think I want to kind of paint it a little bit as a theme that I've ran into more than once, and I'm trying to not run into it anymore. And it would be too much of a focus on tools or too much of a focus on technical. So let me, I remember Dr. Shine shared with me, he said, Dr. Shine's 93 years old. And he said to me, he said, Skip, in my years of working throughout the world and working with performance improvement people, one of the things I see often is that people get content seduced with the technical and they give lip service to the social. I've been guilty of that. Skip has been guilty of that. And I've been guilty of it more than once. So I'm trying to be mindful of that. And I know one of your guests, Julie, Kata coach, she did a webinar a couple years ago, and I really loved it. It was called What's Love Got to Do with It? And what she was really arguing is that I could be the greatest kata coach you've ever seen, or you, maybe if it's not kata, you fill in the blank. I could be the greatest, lean coach or whatever. But if you don't feel psychologically safe, if you don't feel valued, if you don't feel appreciated, I'm never going to be able to coach you. It's just not going to happen. And I think part of that problem is good people with good intentions. Sometimes we get so content seduced with the technical, because it is, it's fun, right? Man, we're breaking down a job, or we're value streaming mapping something, or we're doing all these wonderful things, but we forget the social element to it. And so that person that we're working with, or people that we're working with, it ends up just being a transactional relationship. We're very polite. We smile, but we keep our professional distance, and that we don't get the most of what we could have gotten.
I think there's a lot of listeners right now that can relate to that pitfall of once you learn a tool, it's like having a hammer and everything in the world looks like a nail. You just want to start playing whack-a-mole with all the different problems out there.
That's right.
But really at its core, when you think about, you talk about the book Lean Thinking with Jim Womack and Daniel Jones, is go to Gemba, respect for people, understand the work and their environment. And lean is more about serving and enabling your people to do their best work than it is anything about a tool or a system or anything related to that.
That's right. And just to build on that a little bit, a lot of times in the lean community, we speak a lot about respect for every individual. And that's kind of the principle within the Shingo Institute. And with our principles behind me, we just called it respect. But if you push on that just a little bit more, at some point you could have a good discussion that says, okay, great, but what does that really mean? We want to respect every individual. Okay, I'm in, but how do I do that? And I think it's important that we wrestle through those questions, right? And so one of the subsystems that make up the Baptist Management System is what's known as TWI, job relations. There's three major pillars to TWI, TWI job instructions, TWI job relations, and TWI job methods. Some people are familiar with TWI job instructions, but that may be about it. I would make the argument, from my biased opinion, that TWI job relations is the best way I personally know to operationalize respect for every individual. And so I'm able to manifest that respect versus just trying to say, okay, I want to be respectful of everybody. Well, how do I do it? A humble inquiry, the second edition of Humble Inquiry, the book, when practiced, I think it manifests respect because, once again, life is a series of conversations. So how I have conversations with you, I could end up showing you respect, or I could end up really shutting you down. I know me personally, people that I have an open and trustful relationship, I'm going to tell them anything they ask me. I mean, I'm not only going to do that, I'm going to give them answers to questions that they didn't even know to ask. Right? In other words, I'm going to say, oh, by the way, Chris, did you know? But if I only have a transactional relationship, we're very polite, we're very professional, I'm going to keep my thoughts and my opinions probably to myself because I don't know what the risk is.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to react.
I attended a conference a few years ago, and they had a professor from the University of Texas that got up and presented on why people don't share their ideas. And the two things that stood out were safety and futility. Like, I don't feel safe sharing my ideas with you or giving you feedback because I feel like you control work, you control raises, you promotions. So there's that absence of psychological safety. He didn't say it at the time, but that's really what it's manifested itself out as. And also futility of I've told Chris a million times this before. He's never listened to me. Why is he going to listen to me now? And so what he was saying is, as a leader, you have to go and really apply some serious countermeasures to both of those behaviors or emotions. Otherwise, you're not going to achieve what you want to achieve.
That's exactly right. I remember asking Peter Schein, Ed's son, I said, you know, in my 29-year career, I've reflected and I've seen many times where leaders have said, hey, we want your ideas, we want your opinions, we want your thoughts. And you'll hear, doesn't even really matter how big the crowd is. It could be a small group. You'll just hear crickets. You'll hear nothing. And I asked Peter, I said, why do you think that is? And I loved his answer. He said, think about it, Skip. He said, they have much more to lose than they have to gain. He said, sharing their ideas, sharing their opinions, and maybe history has even showed them that it's just not a safe environment. Amy Edmondson talks a lot about that, you know, in her psychological safety work. Mm-hmm. She talks that people actually get very skilled at protecting themselves, right? And so we've all learned how to smile and nod our heads. But that doesn't mean that we don't have ideas. I mean, just think about it. I like to joke a lot. I say, everybody's creative, right? God, the creator, has made you, the creation, amazingly creative. And then I like to joke and say, think about it. All throughout the nation, we have all these Hobby Lobbies. Well, those stores exist for something, right? People are wanting to be creative. They're wanting to go buy paint and beads and fabric. So why do they not give us those ideas at work? Because we haven't earned the right for them to give it to us. And so,
that has a great parallel with healthcare, because with healthcare, you have some of the most highly trained, well-educated men and women in the world that are focused on making people healthy and solving their health problems. But then you drop them into an environment and other places where you treat them like a kindergartner, like that's where you exactly tell them right. Where to go, how to operate. So you stifle that creativity. You know, my dad taught, we've talked about this. My dad taught school medicine for years. And that was one of his chief frustrations as a medical professional was, hey, I have ideas. I want the latitude to be able to share them.
That's right. That's exactly right. And one of the things I think that's a mistake sometimes, especially in society, is we characterize what we think creative people look like. Everybody's creative. Everyone. It's manifested different, right? Not everyone that's creative, you know, rides a skateboard and has a certain look to them, yeah. Right? You know, it's manifested different. But some of the most talented people I've ever met that do things for me, that help me edit videos, that help me do things, are the people that I discovered through talking that they had this hidden talent. And I'm like, oh my goodness, would you be willing to help me? You know? And so we all have this creativity, but are we willing to share those ideas? And we have to earn that right. We don't get that for free.
Well, what I appreciate, and I'm going to, to piggyback on this, is that when we first met in Memphis over a cup of coffee, you mm-hmm. handed me a little blue Baptist brain, and mm-hmm. on it, when you flip it over, it says, tell me what you're thinking. And one of the things that I see how you use respect as a value in action is when somebody asks you a question, you could just say yes, but instead you add a question to it. Yes, but why? Help me understand your thinking. And that that gives value to the person of now you're tapping into their expertise. And I've always remembered that in the work that I've done since that cup of coffee. And I still have that blue brain sitting around somewhere here in the, there it is. Right. But it works. Like, just ask people what they think. That's a great way to show respect to the individual.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, we kind of got into a roundabout way about your biggest setback, but there has to be a moment where maybe your favorite moment in regards to, you're like, this is the work I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with whom I'm supposed to be doing it with and the place that I'm supposed to be doing it. What was that moment for you?
You know, I think it's in healthcare. I think when I got into healthcare, and especially when starting in the summer of 2015, when we started to introduce the four-step improvement kata, coaching kata, we were empowering the frontline people, the permission to experiment. Now, obviously, we would never do anything that would put a patient in harm's way. I don't mean that by any means. But to experiment, to leverage their creativity. And I've seen people break down in tears because they accomplished something that they didn't think was possible, that they felt valued. So I've seen that a lot, actually, from all different disciplines and people realizing that that they can make their world better. They don't have to have some outside person do it. So I'm there. I'm really just a servant. You know, I'm there to serve you, to help you make your world better. And it's so rewarding when someone says, "Hey, Skip, we don't really need you anymore. We're good." You know, great, fantastic.
My work is done here. I need to go do it somewhere else, right?
That's exactly right. And here's the really cool thing is, you know, one of the words I don't really like that kind of makes me cringe is the word expert, because it's just not a fair representation, right? We got to be really careful at reading our own news clippings, right? And because there's too many news clippings out there. But the reality is, the real people that do the real work, once they learn this line of thinking, I'm learning from them. I mean, they're teaching me. They're starting to teach me about, let's use the four-step improvement kind of example again. They start to teach me about how to look deeper at obstacles, you know, and how to break those obstacles down. Or they teach me about approaches that they do things that I would have never thought of doing. I remember one of our nurse directors down at Golden Triangle in Columbus, Mississippi. We were sitting there one day and we were doing our version of a Kaizen event and called Get Better Jumpstart. And we're looking at readmission of pneumonia patients. And she goes, "Well, we need to use JI here, TWI job instructions." And I didn't know what she was talking about, because we were talking about having conversations. And I was like, "Do what?" And I mean, I was completely lost. I said, "I'm not tracking." And she goes, "We need to make a breakdown and train the nurse on how to have a conversation with the patient that's leaving, so that the patient is aware of the situation so that they don't potentially come back." And she amazingly made this TWI job instruction breakdown that, you know, went in and met the patient. "Hey, patient, do you know that you've had pneumonia? Do you know about the medication? Do you know about home health?" And what was funny is, after we did that experiment, they interviewed 100 patients and they said, "So has your nurse and have your folks told you anything as you're being discharged?" "Well, they keep telling me, don't forget my medication. They keep telling me I'm a pneumonia patient." And that's exactly what we wanted to do. But I tell that story to say that here was an individual that I initially trained, but it wasn't very long before she was training me.
Training you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love TWI and how applicable it is, how easy it is to, like, once you understand it, how easy it is to translate to the current condition,
right?
And the resources. I've got my cards here that, I mean, look, I'm pretty well seasoned and experienced, but I don't conduct a one-on-one with an employee without my yellow card out in front of me.
Oh.
But they love it, because when they see me bringing that out and setting it on the desk between us, they know what to expect. They also, it's a sign of respect for them that they know, oh, wow, Chris really cares about me because he wants to make sure that we do this right in our one-on-one.
That's right. Well, and just to build on that a little bit, you know, TWI Job Relations, to use that one of the cards you held up, you know, this is ancient wisdom. I mean, if you look at the four-step improvement kata, if you look at it, if you know what that is, and then you look at TWI Job Relations, that pattern looks awful closely the same, right? And so TWI Job Relations is from 1940. So for example, you start off with the kata, four-step improvement kata, you say, what's my challenge? What am I trying to achieve? You start off with TWIJR, you say, what's the objective? What am I trying to achieve? Then with kata, you say, well, let's grasp the current condition. With TWI Job Relations, you say, let's get the facts, the feelings, the opinions. You start to see a pattern of thought that's been out there for a while. It sometimes looks different. It has different words, but still a very similar pattern of thought.
Yeah, I tell folks all the time that if they've ever plugged in an address into their phone's GPS, that they have practiced kata because they had to understand what their challenge was, where they're trying to go, where are they right now, what's their desired outcome, let's run an experiment, which is a route. Okay, I made that turn. What's changed? Has the route changed? So it's the tools. I'm with you. I don't like the term expert. I think once you show someone how to use their expertise with something, they have the ability to really grow with this.
That's exactly right.
Well, Skip, do you have a lean or continuous improvement pet peeve or something you frequently be seeing applied or done wrong?
Well, I'm sure I'm like anybody. Of course, I probably do. I guess the ones that come to my mind right away is anybody pushing too hard that they're the authority, that they're the expert. I understand why that's done. Some people feel like they need to do that. You know, maybe especially if they're some kind of a, you know, external type of person. I understand that. But at the same time, it's off-putting, right? And so really the way I like to look at it is I'm just one learner sharing with another learner what I've learned. And what's much more rewarding for me is to have discussions, and I like to call it my slang that I took from Emerson is I like to cuss and discuss. You know, let's have a conversation about why do we believe what we believe. And let my thinking evolve. You know, I told you several times I've been being coached this year by Dr. Shine. My thinking is continuing to evolve. I'm discovering areas that wasn't exactly correct and things that can be improved or sharpened. So that area of, hey, I'm an expert and I know everything already about this subject is somewhat off-putting. I think the other thing that becomes obvious, I know as a Shingo examiner, we talk a lot about this, is being too focused on the tools. You know, there's some great stories that revolve around that where people in the early days in the 80s and 90s would go over to Japan and they would see these Kanban boards or whatever it may be, and they'd come back and copy them. And then they go back to Japan, the same place, and it had changed or they weren't using something. And they said, well, that was just a countermeasure we were using and we no longer need it. And that's a good line of thinking between that this is a tool and we are going to make this tool happen, right? I think we have to understand why are we doing what we're doing? What's the thinking behind it? So that would be another thing is too much of a focus on the tools and not enough focus on the thinking and on the principles behind those thinking.
I would agree. I definitely agree. I think that that's one of my pet peeves as well. That resonates with me. Skip, what do you consider the most important thing that you've learned in your career journey so far?
That it comes down to people. It comes down to people. At the end of the day, you know, JR teaches us that we get results through people. And until AI and robots are running everything, we're going to have to continue to realize it's through people and those interdependence on people. So that one keeps on hitting me in the face. I think I'll probably keep on learning it as time goes on. but that one comes back over and over and over again to me, is how we interact and how we work through people.
I think that's powerful. And, you know, what I love about TWI is it starts with the supervisor gets results through people, but then at the very bottom, it says people must be treated as individuals. So if you're in a position of leadership, and you may manage a department, yeah, it's your department, but that department is made up of men and women who are individuals that contribute to that department.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you think about the situation, whether it be in manufacturing or healthcare or any industry, what happens, good people, good intentions, what happens, it happened with me, is that you're a really good, you fill in the blank, you're a really good engineer, you're a really good nurse, you're a really good technologist, whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, one day you are promoted to be a supervisor or a manager. And if truth be known, you don't know what you're doing. Okay. And you're faking it till you make it. And sometimes you're developing habits and approaches that aren't really healthy, but you don't know they're not healthy. And that's where TWI job relations can come in. We've had so many people say to me after a 10-hour workshop, Skip, I've been a supervisor, a manager, a director for 25 years or whatever, and I didn't realize how important it was for me to have relationships with my folks, you know. I remember hearing a guy the other day. I can't remember. He's on the NBA with Shaq and all that. I don't know a lot about basketball, but he made a great statement. He said, "Everybody is somebody's child." And I thought, man, that's an impactful statement, right? So you go back to what you just read, treating people as individuals. That's difficult, right? Because I think about just my son and my daughter, they couldn't be any more opposite. If you squeeze my son, everything about sports, statistics, and everything about sports comes out of him. My daughter could care less about sports, could care zero about it, right? And so because she's a unique individual that's different than my son. So I think that's such an important piece.
Skip, what piece of advice would you give to someone who's just starting out with lean or continuous improvement?
I think it would be to walk with humility, to use the old phrase from Mr. Cho, show respect, you know. Go to Gemba, show respect, ask why. I'm sure I got that out of order, but you know what I'm talking about. I think those are some things that we all want to learn. We all want to be the best we can be at some aspect of our discipline. But there's something counterintuitive about that, because yes, I want to be the best I can be. Yes, I want to grow and learn, but I got to be careful at reading the news clippings that people are going to put around you as you do that, because then you start to believe that stuff. I remember a lady that I won't name her, but she was a publisher for some of the big, great heroes of our time, the Dr. Demings of the world. And she, when I was very young, she told me, at dinner with her and her husband, she said, "Be careful at believing the hype, because people like me are the ones that create the hype. It's all made up, Skip." And she goes, don't buy into it too much. And I think that was some really good advice.
Yeah, I think for me personally, Skip, I don't think I really enjoyed true success in my career and my profession with lean and continuous improvement until I realized that I derived more joy and success from watching other people succeed. Yes. Than being able to like break my arm, just pat myself on the back. Like it was a shift. It occurred over time, but then when it finally clicked in place, it was like, oh wow, this is it. This is why I'm supposed to be doing this.
Well, and that's right. And you know, I know one of your guests that you had was Stephen Spear, and we've been doing some work with him and had several conversations. And the thing first of all, you know, he's just a giant.
Awesome.
In my mind.
Yes.
You know, awesome. And the thing I love about people like him is having what I would call mental wrestling matches, and not wrestling to be right, but wrestling to find out what truth is, right? And so I love, I know even with my boss, which is the greatest leader I've ever had, there's been many times when he'll say, what do you think of something? And I'll say, I don't know about that. And I'm actually wrong, but he allows me to discover I'm wrong on my own time, right? He allows me to disagree with me. He allows me to be me as a person. And so that's really been healthy for me to grow as a professional.
Skip, what piece of advice would you give to maybe someone who's a little bit further along in their lean and continuous improvement career? Maybe something that Dr. Shine talked to you about recently.
You know, I think that I would continue to almost say the same thing. I would say be humble. Have a desire to want to learn and to serve others so that they can learn and grow, so that you get to learn stuff from them. And learn how to have conversations. What I'm realizing as I practice humble inquiry is that so much of what we do is not only directly telling in our society, but a lot of times it's disguised. In other words, we ask a question, but it's really a tell, right? And or we do things like one physician told me, a friend of mine, he said, Skip, I've just realized after practicing humble inquiry that I do what's known as diagnostic inquiry. I said, tell me more. He said, well, as a doctor, I've always diagnosed people, then I tell the patient what to do. Now that I'm in management, I find myself doing the same thing, right? And when you're doing that, think about the other person. What are they going to do? Many times they're shutting down, right?
I think Katie Anderson calls that the telling habit in some of her conversations. Like, are you telling people what to do? Or are you asking what they think they should do? And that's a very different mode of thinking.
And as long as you brought her name up, wow, everyone needs to go out and read her book. What a great book.
So, do you have a favorite book, author, or mentor that you would recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, I would recommend, no surprise by now, the second edition of Humble Inquiry. And I'm stressing the word second edition because many of your listeners, there's a good chance they've already read the first book. But the second edition, they really put some great little case studies. Dr. Shine always says, if they don't have time to read the book or they don't want to, just read the case studies. You know, they're like, you know, 4 or 5, 6 pages at the back. But he also wrote the book, he told me, the second edition, because we are in a time that we find ourselves in our society where people are struggling knowing what truth is, what facts are. And humble inquiry really helps you figure out what in the world's going on here.
One of the things that I love about my interactions with my peers is I have a leader in my organization that he starts out his conversations with, I may be wrong, but this is how I see things. And when he does that, he's in a position of power. But by saying that small statement of, I may be wrong, he's opening up challenge to his thoughts. And it's a small, subtle shift in language that pays big dividends, because here's this MBA, 25 years of experience, trained leader that is dealing with, you know, young men and women that are right out of college. And this is maybe their first or second job. And there's a power dynamic there. If you don't realize it, it'd be easy for him not to realize it, but he's aware of it. And he does that with that humble inquiry of like, help me understand why you see it that way, or I may be wrong. And I appreciate that about him so much.
Well, think about it. He's making himself vulnerable, right? Because I want to learn. So therefore I may be wrong. And if I am wrong, please show me where I'm wrong, you know, so I can learn also with you.
Well, you and I both know that magic wands don't exist, but if they did, and you had an opportunity to fix anything with a group, an organization, or a facility that you're working with, what would you typically wave your magic wand at first?
You know, I think just off the top of my head, what comes to me is I would love for leaders to understand the importance of building a management system. A socio-technical management system. Many times they're going off of how they were raised in college or some of their initial jobs. And And so they're so busy at running around and doing that, that they may not be thinking about some of the elements of a management system. So for example, let's just talk, for example, just one element, strategic planning and deployment and alignment, or what some call Hoshin planning. You know, a lot of times without getting into fancy conversation, I just want to have a generic conversation. So how do you think about developing goals? And when once you have those goals, how do you approach them and review them? And how do they get aligned? As a Shingo examiner, it's very common, unfortunately, that we'll go to well-known organizations and we'll see some amazing goals and strategic efforts being laid out, but they don't make it to the front level work. They haven't been deployed or aligned correctly. And so it's pretty unlikely that any of those goals are going to get hit or this year because, but that's just one element, right? We could go on another element around something I'm very passionate about is idea systems. A lot of times when you say, so do your people, do they have the opportunity to share their ideas? And if so, how? And I am not talking about the wooden box with the lock on it.
Yeah. You know? Because those ideas may get out and cause havoc, right? That's why we lock them away. Right?
Why we put a lock on it, I don't understand. Yeah. But anyway, regardless of the element, whether it be about allowing people to have a voice and share their ideas, or whether it be about strategic deployment and alignment, or whether it be about how do we think about solving problems, regardless, I think those are all elements to a management system, and they don't have to be Skip's flavor. They don't, but just how do we do it? You know, there's a lot of great people out there that are outside of the world of lean. You could even say they're in the world of agile, or they're in the world of other organizations, but they're doing some great work. And that's the real issue. How do you think about this? And do you think this is important?
Great response. Skip, you do a lot of great work out there. You have the Connecting the Dots podcast, which I'm a fan of, and I recommend on a regular basis to other folks when they say, hey, what podcast do you listen to? But you have some other content and other work that you're doing. How can people, you know, can you walk people through the work that you are doing, where it is, and how they can connect with you if they want to learn more about what you do or have a question for you?
Yeah. So there is the Connecting Dots podcast. It's me and two physicians. Every Thursday it comes out. It's on all the platforms of Apple and Spotify and so on. Now the Connecting the Dots is a very common phrase, but if they put in Connecting the Dots Baptist, you know, management system, they'll find it. And that's one element. Also, folks can go to YouTube and just type in Baptist management system, just Baptist management system, and they'll find we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 70 homegrown videos. Some of those were like me interviewing Dr. Shine, and some of them's on the four-step improvement, Kata, and so on. People can go out, anyone can go out there and watch those. I'm on LinkedIn, of course. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. Those would be some of the most common ways that I'm thinking about to connect to some of the work that's going on out there.
Well, I'll make sure to put links to all of those in the show notes page. Skip, it's good to see you. I'm remiss that as a fellow Memphian that I haven't invited you to coffee. But okay. It's been a weird 20 months for all of us here lately. So this is okay, right?
It has been. And I forgot one resource. I tend to always forget to plug it because myself and two other gentlemen wrote a book about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago called Creating an Effective Management System. And so I don't plug it as much because I forget. And two, because we wrote it just to work, get our thinking out on paper. That was really our purpose for writing it. So creating an effective management system. But yes, we for sure need to connect over a coffee in Memphis. It's been so crazy. It's been hard to even get a coffee in Memphis.
Yeah, exactly. Well, folks that are listening or watching, that's what a humble leader looks like. He forgets to plug his own book and his own work. So Skip, thank you for the work that you're doing for healthcare and for the lean community. I'm grateful that I get to call you friend, and I hope we can have you back sometime soon.
Thank you.
I want to thank Skip for coming on the podcast today. I know I got a lot out of our conversation, and I hope that you did as well. One of the attributes of Skip that I admire is that he challenges the way that I'm thinking, and I believe, in turn, that helps me to become a better leader. I'm grateful that my hometown Memphis has leaders just like Skip. Be sure to go to the show notes page at leanleadershippodcast.com and check out the links and learn more about Skip and how to connect with him if you have a question about what we talked about today. As always, I'm looking on ways to improve the podcast, and I want your feedback. If you like the podcast, make sure to go to podchaser.com/leanleadershippodcast, leave a rating, a review, and I appreciate any help you can give me whatsoever. Thank you for listening, and until next time, seek progress over perfection.
Thanks for listening to the Lean Leadership Podcast with Chris Burnham. Get more info, resources, tools, or connect at leanleadershippodcast.com.